but that's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm not here to talk about obesity and how it has become a scourge in our society. I'm not here to talk about obesity and health in that sense. I'm here to talk about the obesity that has come as a result of the glut of information that desensitizes our society today. When God said we would surely die from eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I suspect that it wasn't so much the knowledge of good that he was concerned about. For there was an abundance of good in the Garden of Eden, in today's standards, it would be too much good. But a mixture of the two, good and evil, evil being the catalyst for perversion, along with the destiny-changing statement, "You will be as gods," threatens to drown us in a sea of perverted wisdom that, when ingested, gives us a euphoric sense of accomplishment as if we know and are gods. And so you see the glut of knowledge as good for consumption, but it is not. Not all knowledge is good knowledge. Not all information is good information. Sometimes all the knowledge we've amassed makes us believe that by our own intellect we can defeat Satan. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." My wife and I, Wednesday night, were watching a documentary on the Bible and how the Israelites came to their belief of, to their monotheistic beliefs, a belief in one God. In a particular section of this documentary, they interviewed two scientists, two archaeologists, who, one was the teacher, the head of a particular dig. The other was second in command of that particular dig. On this dig, they happened to be searching for answers concerning the destruction of the cities of Canaan. Now, the head scientist said that unequivocally, under Joshua, the Israelites destroyed all the cities. They looked at the rocks and the walls that had been cracked and burned. But never once did he explain that it was because of God that Joshua was able to destroy walls that were, in some areas, 18 inches thick. Never once did he explain that through the power of God and simple weapons was Joshua able to overcome the walls of Jericho. And so we move on to the assistant who, her simple explanation was that through conflict within, the city-states fell into disrepair. And the people on the lower level, the workers outside of the walls, came in and destroyed those kings and queens and subjects inside the walls. Not understanding that her knowledge, her glut of knowledge, meant nothing without a relationship with God. I look at the story of the Garden of Eden, metaphorically. You could illustrate the Garden of Eden as a library filled with information on the goodness of living, overflowing with wisdom on how a relationship with God orders the steps of a purpose-driven life. Yet in the middle of this library stands a bookshelf filled with both the highest forms of good and the lowest forms of evil. A conglomeration of information so potent that even if one touched a shelf, the potential for death becomes immediate. And Eve, with a little encouragement and the incentive of being raised to the level of God, reads. And Adam reads. And our fall into the depths of informational obesity begins. Mind you, I'm not teaching ignorance. I am not encouraging you to close your minds to information. I believe and have always believed that wisdom is the principal thing. And we are encouraged in Proverbs 4:7 to get wisdom. But the only way to understand or to get understanding, to separate good from evil, to cast aside the useless for the useful, is to admit that Jesus is the answer. This glut of information that we have today desensitizes us, as I said before. It threatens to swallow us up in a pit like quicksand. And the only way to understand or to get to the good, to separate the good from the bad, is to know that Jesus is the answer. So, under the leadership of Joshua, the cities of Canaan are destroyed. And the documentary goes on and on to explain that mind you, without the relationship with God, that these city-states were destroyed over 1,000 years. And that at that point, my wife and I turn the television off and we go to bed because we realize that there is no knowledge to be gained from this show. Now, I come from a place where I have believed that I could glean knowledge from everything. I watch everything. I read everything. But in my age, I have found that all information is not good information. And that without God, I would desensitize myself into a hole and separate myself from Him with some of the information that I have read, some of the information that I have seen, some of the foods that we eat. Even food is information for your body. So Canaan falls. It is our understanding that Canaan and the cities therein fall because of the relationship that Joshua has, the information that he's getting from God. I suspect that this documentary went on and on and never, ever got to the point of explaining really how the Israelites came to have this monotheistic belief. They would never come to the point of explaining a God who has always been there, will always be there, and will come back to save us. They would never get to the point beyond the information that they have, that they hold so dear, that has desensitized them to a relationship with God. They will never get to the point of really understanding that the information they hold is nothing without Him. Please understand that I am not preaching ignorance, and I am not preaching tolerance either. What I am preaching is a relationship with God to point you in the right direction with the glut of information that we have in this world. I am preaching to you that there is nothing like a relationship with God to help you understand your purpose here today. And so in closing, every morning that I wake up at 4 o'clock, the first thing that I do is get on my knees and pray. I submit all the information that I have from the day before to God. I lay it at His feet. So that as I continue on from 4 o'clock, I do not desensitize myself to the information that He has for me on that day. I pray that we can all do this, maybe not at 4 o'clock in the morning, but I pray that as information filters into our homes, that through a relationship with God, we can discern, are able to discern what is needed and what is fodder. I thank you for this time that we've had. Amen. I believe we have the worship and giving.
offering this morning is for conference-wide church and school and building fund. Joe, come on in. In fact, you can come on up. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I just did.
Okay, I thought I had plenty of time. Our offering today is for the conference-wide church and school building fund. This is a fund that is collected only one time a year, so this is your big opportunity to make an infrastructure investment. This is the fund that EAA had access to when they built their new school, and it's the fund that we will probably borrow money or get money from. It's not actually a loan. It's a grant when our building project gets finalized. These funds are collected on a conference-wide basis. So whatever we give today stays within our conference. Most conference funds go back to the general conference, and some of it trickles back, sometimes a lot, sometimes a little. This all stays in our conference. And the monies are used to build new churches and schools, and to expand the capacity of existing facilities. And the fund provides money for up to 15% of the conference-approved budget for each project, up to $150,000 per project. And the budget for last year, they allocated, I read, $388,000 for this purpose. So, after a short prayer, we'll collect this offering. Loving Father, we thank you for this fund and how it's used to build and expand facilities for educating our youth and for our worship services. We thank you for the opportunity to give, and we thank you in the name of Jesus who gave all he had for us. Amen.
You know that in our second service we're having a youth Sabbath, so many of our young people will be participating in that. But we do want to have time for our children's story. We may not have as many as we normally have, again, but we'd like to invite the children who are here, if they would come and join Alex up front and then help take our offering. We'd appreciate it, and that might be the Willis children. I think they might be the ones. Oh, hey, I see Summer in the back. Okay, so we have a couple of kids. And that gives Alex an opportunity to practice his children's story. That's good stories, so.
Happy Saturday, everyone.
Happy Saturday.
How you guys are doing?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I want to tell you a story here in the Bible. It's actually found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12.
1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. It's actually just a Bible text that says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all members of the body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into the one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves, free, we all have been made to drink into the one Spirit." All right. Now, what does this all mean, that we're all part of Christ's body? How many parts do we have in our bodies? Can anybody mention any? All right, what are the major ones? The what? Your skin, okay. But major ones?
The heart.
The heart, okay. But of your body, which ones are the major ones? Your, yeah, what about if you didn't have any feet? What would happen to you? You couldn't walk, that's true. What about if you didn't have any hands? What would happen to you, Summer, if you didn't have any hands?
You couldn't grab anything.
Yeah, you couldn't grab anything. You couldn't eat cereal. How many of you guys like cereal? I like cereal. You couldn't eat cereal. Well, maybe you could, but you have to go like this and eat it. I know. So let me ask you a question. What about your ears? Are your ears important? Yeah, because they help you to what? To hear things. How many of you guys like music? I like music, yeah. All right, so if you didn't have ears, that would not be really nice. What about your eyes? What about if you didn't have any eyes? Is your eyes important, Mike?
If you didn't have any eyes, you wouldn't see.
Yeah, and then you would crash into everything, huh? Yeah, that's true. What about if you didn't have any nose? What would happen?
Anything.
You wouldn't be able to smell anything. How many of you guys like smelling flowers? Or smelling like the smell of a nice cake? Yeah, isn't that nice? Yeah, it smells very important. What about if you didn't have any mouth? So every single part of our bodies are important, isn't it? So that's why the Bible says that we are all different body parts in the body of Christ, which means that we are all needed. It doesn't matter how small or how unimportant we think we are. God says, no, that's not true. You're important because I can use you.